Well, good afternoon. Thanks for having us. Toll Hall's been attending and supporting the Haulage and Loading Conference for many years now. We were very pleased to have an opportunity to present at the show. We were so excited about it, actually, when Steve first contacted my colleague and I, that as soon as we got the email, he calls me up and he says, "Boy, I'm really looking forward to your speech at Haulage and Loading." And I said, "Hey, I'm looking forward to your speech at Haulage and Loading." But he's a little bit better at this game than I am. He left the hemisphere in order to avoid the speaking engagement, so he's in South America at the moment. But I'd like to talk today a little bit about setting up your ideal lowboy in a mining environment. Toll Hall is a heavy equipment manufacturer of mining lowboys. A custom designer and manufacturer of this type of equipment, strictly for the mining industry. My background, I've been, as Steve mentioned, been running around the world for about the last 10 years in Australasia, Africa, and Canada. And I've seen a bit of a shift, and sort of a cultural shift in this type of equipment and how it's being perceived, how it's being used in a mine site. So I want to talk a little bit about that. And then we'll get into some of the practical inputs to consider when you're setting up your lowboy in terms of, you know, what you want to move, obviously, and prime mover selection, and site infrastructure impacts, and finally some sort of long-term success areas. As I mentioned, there's been a bit of an evolution that I've seen in the last 10 years. About 30 years ago, when this type of equipment was introduced to the market, it was kind of a nice-to-have machine. It was, I think people, you know, lowboys were recognized in heavy industries to move equipment around. But it was, has never been used specifically in a mine. And so it was sort of viewed as a nice-to-have machine. When I started about 10 years ago, there was sort of a shift occurring, and it was becoming more of a maintenance support machine. So we were working with maintenance departments at mines and maintenance superintendents to help them get their equipment back to the shop for maintenance, for PM schedules, and certainly when equipment was broken down, either haul truck recovery and tracked equipment. And where we kind of have moved today, and I hear this very often when I go to mines, is it's a priority one production machine. And I guess the question is, why has this sort of evolution occurred and what can we point to? And when it first went to the maintenance support machine, it was really a reason to reduce maintenance costs, and specifically undercarriage costs. And today, what we're seeing as we get into this production area, it's definitely that, just improving productivity and utilizing this equipment to improve equipment mobility around the mine site, especially when we consider blending of materials and selective mining requirements that we're seeing today in the mine sites. And there's also been a couple of changes with regard to equipment OEMs and their requirements on warranty and limiting the amount of time that you can actually tram this equipment. So utilizing an alternative method to move it around, and in this case a mining lowboy, certainly assists with that hitting those requirements. A few factors we've seen in sort of this evolution and some telltale signs. It's quite common for Toll Hall to be contacted by third-party engineering firms to request information about our equipment at the onset of a pre-feasibility study with a mine. And so that's sort of an indicator that this type of equipment is now at the forefront as opposed to an afterthought on a mine site. So we will look at and discuss a truck-trailer combination that's appropriate for the project, and also look at things like cost and budgetary estimates so that they can put their package together for their client. Another area that we're seeing these changes, and it's sort of proving it out, is the decisions being made in terms of the equipment and its, if the steel and Aussie term, the floatability of the equipment. Can it be moved around? Certainly isn't the driver of the equipment they're going to choose because they're looking at production. But again, it's sort of, since it's being considered, it's being part of the consideration when they're selecting equipment for a mine. And we do have a client in Western Australia that specifically selected smaller excavators that were a bit more mobile that could be moved around on a lowboy as part of their mine plan. So again, it's that sort of that evolution we're seeing and sort of why and some indicators in the industry. The third area we've seen is we actually have OEMs of other mining equipment integrating features into their equipment in order to make this easier to load on a machine and in some cases easier for towing operations. And I'll get into that a little bit later in the presentation, what I mean by that. So the big question is, what would you like to move? And oftentimes, our clients will look at this question and say, well, I got an 800-ton excavator. That's my big hydraulic excavator on site. Let's start there, and everything else below it can move on the equipment. And that's a fairly logical place to begin, but I guess there's perhaps a better question, and that is, what would you like to move most often? The equipment that you're moving on a daily or a weekly basis should really be the focus of selecting this type of equipment to augment your operations. So what we're seeing is sort of a one size does not necessarily fit all when it comes to this type of equipment. When you start looking at larger low boys, 500, 600 tons, it becomes a bit of a specialty machine, and there's certainly steps that our engineers can take to design and customize this equipment to match the smaller and the larger equipment. But at the end of the day, what our clients are justifying the purchase of this type of equipment on is drills and dozers. Again, it goes back to that selective mining and blending of materials that are required, and these are the type of machines that are moving in order to accommodate those production goals. So talking about some of the more practical aspects of setting up your ideal lowboy. Prime mover selection. You know, what's the truck that you're going to utilize to move this machine around the mine site? Obviously the payload of the lowboy that you're looking at is primary here in what you're going to select for a haul truck. A 100-ton haul truck's not going to move a 450-ton lowboy. So what we will look at is OEM performance curves for ascending and descending gradability of a truck-trailer combination that's being considered. And we will present that information in terms of what the client can expect for his gradability. And then certainly look at things like stopping distances and ISO 3450 regulations on how, you know, what the length of this, is this machine going to stop based on OEM brake torque specs for both new and worn brakes, because that's obviously a consideration here. So we're taking a look at all those performance factors to ensure that the truck trailer and make a good recommendation for the truck trailer combination that they may be looking at for their site. Another consideration for prime mover selection is disabled haul truck towing. Some mine sites may not require a very large lowboy because their main loading machine might be a rope shovel. So they may only need a 200-ton lowboy, but they do have ultra-class trucks on the mine site that they might want to use for towing. And this is the area that I mentioned earlier where we're seeing some of the OEMs add features to their trucks. And you can see right there, that's the area of the bumpers that we're seeing that previously TowHaul would have to put out a tow bracket of some sort and reinforcement plates in different areas to make that work in order to be lifted like that. But because of market demand and this cultural shift that we've seen, the OEMs are now putting these out of the factory with bumpers that are sort of quote-unquote towing bumpers, if you will. And a general rule of thumb on the towing aspect is you can tow one truck larger than the truck doing the towing. So for instance, a 240-ton truck can tow a 320-ton truck. A second area to look at and consider with prime mover selection is a new versus a used truck. Back in the day when this was sort of a maintenance support machine, it was the maintenance superintendent would look at his list of trucks and find the oldest girl on the list and go, that's our lowboy truck. And that made some sense because there were some capital considerations. But again, with that shift now that we've seen toward this being more of a production machine, we're seeing brand new trucks being used for this application, which 10 years ago was absolutely unheard of. So certainly this day and age, we're seeing low hour trucks and new trucks, and it makes sense. If this type of machinery is going to be integrated into your operation and productivity, you obviously want to have a truck that is available and reliable. If it's always in the shop, your mine plan has just been shot if it's surrounding equipment mobility and the truck's not available to pull the gear. A couple of considerations regarding the infrastructure on the mine site. There are a few impacts that we'll be thinking about. This is a unique machine, obviously over 100 feet long, or can be depending on the configuration. So things like haul road design, where we may not be driven by the low boy, but certainly intersections and things like that may have to be modified to accommodate a machine of this length. And if that's not practical, or if intersection changes can't be made, simple things like procedural changes or the rules of the road changes, where you would give that lowboy operator the right of way in order to make a long turn if he has to go wide in order to make a turn. Simple things like that to bring this sort of unique machine onto the mine site that causes some issues that way. Again, bridges and underpasses, another area that we have to consider. With an excavator loaded on this machine, you can be looking at a stick sticking up 40 feet in the air. So underpasses, conveyor systems, power lines, those are all areas that need to be considered. And bridges. Looking at a bridge that may have been designed a few years ago, we have to reconsider possibly the bridge being able to handle a piece of equipment with a GVW of over 800 tons. Certainly not getting in the realm of what the gentleman from Luminant had to speak about earlier, but it's still a consideration. And if it's a new mine site, looking at building this type of infrastructure, it has to be considered. And if it's an existing mine, looking at that and making sure that the bridge will have the sufficient capacity to handle that load. Finally, a couple of ideas on long-term success with this type of equipment. We have a few, some clients reporting back to us what they're learning and how they're operating this equipment and getting the best case scenario out of it. Equipment ownership, having that internal champion on the mine site. This is normally a one-off machine. It's a standalone machine on the mine, and having that internal owner, sort of the champion for it, is certainly critical. Oftentimes, it seems weird, but the lowboy will fall into kind of a no man's land. And it seems odd because it should normally fall into mobile equipment, and it does usually, but for whatever reason, it's sort of, again, it's a perception, and maybe where this culture hasn't quite come all the way around, it's sort of looked at as it's just a lowboy. You know, there's no problems with that, but as you well know, a small bit of damage can turn into a lot of damage in a hurry. And with the perception that we've seen, or the change we've seen toward this Priority One production machine, if that machine isn't available, there's people that are getting angry and upset. So looking at things like the possibility of having a dedicated crew of operators for this machine has been proven time and time again to have long-term success. It's not always practical, of course, but it's an area that if can happen, it does help out. And again, things like PM schedules and inspection protocols sounds simple because every other piece of equipment on site would go through this. But again, it's that perception that it's just a lowboy, doesn't need these things. So putting it right in the plan when the machine comes onto the site, just like you would a dozer or a grader or any other piece of mobile equipment that's going to be taken out of production in order to have these inspections and PMs done, is crucial to long-term success. So I appreciate your time today, and I really thank you for allowing me to come up here and talk a little bit about a topic that's near and dear to our hearts. So if anyone has any questions, fire away. Thank you.
Okay. Great job. Thank you. Here's your one.
Thanks.